I would like to read a word of God before we pray from 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, right from the first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us stand for prayer. We thank you with all our hearts for this day of grace that you have given us again. We are so glad to be here again. Lord, we also thank you for the precious and holy Word of God that we just read. Lord, we also thank you for the precious songs that we were allowed to sing again. Lord, we also thank you for your presence. O Lord, you have said that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in their midst. Lord, we believe you are present here tonight. Thank you for that, O Lord. Lord, we also ask you to take away from us everything that is not pleasing to you, that does not mean you, all filthiness, all sin, everything that stands in your way, every wrinkle, Lord, take away by your precious and holy blood. Lord, that you can come to your right in my life and in all our lives, Lord. Lord, we come as we are right now, even tonight. Lord, we thank you also for the meetings that are behind us, for the mighty blessing that you have given. Lord, we thank you for touching the sick, healing them. Lord, that you have saved. Lord, we thank you for delivering, Lord. O God, how shall we not praise you and exalt your name? Lord, we have also a prayer request here, a sister from East Germany. She is asking for prayer. Lord, we know you have heard us in these last days. You have healed the sick. Lord, we ask you now, right at the beginning of this service, for this sister, may you touch her. May you heal her. Lord, you are a great physician. You are a great helper. Thanks be to you in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, you will continue to be with us. Bless your word. Bless my brother. And bless us who hear. Thanks be to you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am very grateful to the Lord for what he has done. You can't express that in a few words. There have been no meetings at any time where people have come afterwards and phoned now to tell of what God has done on those who were here and also already on those who were not here. We are very grateful for that. And you can believe me that we don't attribute anything to ourselves because we know that it has really been given to us by God. But the few testimonies that I still heard here strengthened me in my faith, in the awareness that God is the same, and that where people believe and trust in him, his arm has not yet become shorter, and that he is able to help. And God has indeed done great and glorious things for a number of people in spirit, soul, and body. And at the very end, there was this one brother from Greece who has been living here for a while, somewhere in Germany. And some of you have surely seen it. He came here to the front, and later his wife and another unbelieving woman. And he conveyed greetings of Brother Sidopoulos from Thessalonica. And I prayed there 2 years ago for the nephew of this young man. He had a tumor in his head and could not be operated. And the mother came to the meeting. I had not preached about healing at all, but she said through the brother Sidopoulos, who believed, if I prayed, God would hear. And the thing was that the operation could not be done in Greece at all, but was to be done in London. And the doctors didn't want to do it anyway, but if they did, it should be done there. I really just prayed in faith, nothing more and nothing less, and put my hand on the child and believed, as I said. And the young man began to cry. He says, "Brother Frank, my nephew has been healed on the spot." They took him to Athens. He was examined right then, and he says, now after 2 years, he is still completely healed. And he also wept and thanked the Lord. God is faithful. We only need to trust him from the heart. And we actually believe that the end will be like the beginning. What do you think if you don't just stand still, but pray and believe that God is here, blessing, saving, healing, and delivering? What can happen here? If we act unitedly in the presence of the Lord, according to His word, then He is bound to it and must confirm it, because it is His word. If it were about you and me, then we would not need to come here at all. But if it's about God and His glory and His word, then He can't help but confirm it. He has always done it. It's just my deepest wish, if I could only contribute something to help others and help myself, I would do it. And then the thought came to me, it is not through our words that we or others are helped. I and everyone is only helped by God's word. He sends His word and makes well. He sends His word and it's done. He sends His word and then He confirms it. Our words may be many, and the intention also good, in vain. His word is an all-powerful word, and His Spirit uses the word and confirms it in the hearts and lives of those who can believe. And so let us go forward, really go forward, in trust. And I thought to myself, may the Lord make His word even sharper and really cut off everything in me and in all of us. As it is written, do not rend your garments, but your hearts, and circumcise the foreskin of your hearts. Only God can do all this. And when we are so intimately connected to Him and to each other, then all things will be possible. Then there is no need for shouting, for our God is not Baal. Our God is the God of Abraham. He has a fine ear, a fine hearing. There is no need to shout so loud that someone else thinks we want to wake him from sleep. Our God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He is the shepherd of Israel. He is your God and my God. And we want to trust Him wholeheartedly. I had to think about it. These days there is the talk of Israel and of the courage that this people has. And the thought came to me to have a quick look into the Holy Scriptures. And what can I tell you? The word Golan is found twice in the Bible and is a part of the original territory that the 2.5 tribes held. And basically belongs to the people of Israel. Such courage God should be able to give us, to put our foot of faith on what God originally gave us. And we have seen how many battles had to take place for them to reclaim one part after another. We have seen in the wars that are behind us, I will read it to you from the territory of Golan in Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20, there it says from verse 7, and they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjat Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side Jordan, by Jericho, eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. The three tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, were on the east side of the Jordan. We all know that. We will read it in a moment, if you like. The second time, it's written in Joshua 21. Here it says, from verse 27, and unto the children of Gershon, of the families of the Levites, out of the other half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan in Bashan with her suburbs. I was just thinking, seeing these things happen, one after the other, without fear, so to speak, like Joshua was in his days, and Caleb too. I just wanted to read about Caleb very briefly earlier, when the division came for the tribes. It says that the division of the tribes, the 2.5 tribes, is in Joshua, in chapter 13, from verse 15. There you can read very precisely the division of the 2.5 tribes that were east of the Jordan. All the other tribes were west of the Jordan, and the 2.5 were east. There was Bashan and Gilead, Moab, and all the different tribes that were there before. But now I was concerned with what Caleb said when he came over to take his inheritance. Joshua chapter 14 from verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Forty years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. This is already, here we can stop, this is already a very glorious word. He gave the report as he thought in his heart. And do you know how he thought in his heart? Who knows? Full of faith. Full of faith. He thought according to the promise, in faith. He thought by himself that God is able to fulfill his promise. And we have read it in the word of introduction, that we should not look at the visible, for that fadeth away, but at the invisible, that does not fade away. And in the heart of this man, the promise of God was so deeply anchored that his thoughts only revolved around the promise of God. Something else had no place at all in his heart. And so, from his heart, in faith, he gave the report. And just look how God rewarded him afterwards. And the reward comes when we believe from the heart what God has promised. The hour of our reward comes, 100%. Not only then, it comes now and will come yet today and tomorrow and all days. And until the end, it will come if we believe from the heart what God has said. For it says here, I read it again, to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Is this not a wonderful testimony? One would almost say the man handed himself a bouquet of flowers. Oh no! He spoke out in faith what had become great to him at that time, and he held fast, and he did not forget. The years had passed, but the experience, it remained in his heart. He thought of it at the moment when it was time to take the land. We will remember many things when our feet are about to tread on the promised ground, that it was worthwhile to believe from the heart and to take in what the Lord promised. It says here, my brethren went up with me and made the people's hearts waver, while I showed full obedience to the Lord my God. So, not only faith, but also obedience. Faith and obedience belong together. May God grant it to me that I may be able to say from the heart that I have shown full faith and obedience to my God. And then it says, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He himself spoke only of obedience. Moses said that you have been perfectly obedient to the Lord my God. More was not possible than he had done. Total obedience to God. And God has indeed gloriously rewarded this obedience of faith. And then it says, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. You will have to forgive me, but I didn't get to read that word before the meeting, so it's not so familiar to me. But we are reading it together now, and we can see what is being said here. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. What was it? The 45 years had passed quickly. The promise of God was nourished by faith. He had one thing to hold on to. And he says, I am as strong today as I was when Moses sent me. Isn't that wonderful? The promise of God carries you. It strengthens you. It lifts you above many things. So these are glorious words that can be read here. I am as strong today as I was when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Ha! He knew he would not only go to war, but come back victorious, to march out and return again. Isn't that wonderful? All a glorious reward from God to those who put their faith and trust in Him. And I mean, if we give faith and trust to the Lord, He will be with us. So He has not yet sought the old age and said, now I will settle down comfortably, but I am still as strong today as when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. Not to sit down, but for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He wanted the area where the Anakims were, namely these giants, and the cities that were great and fenced. He wanted to go for war. A glorious thing, a wonderful word, a glorious testimony of a man who believed God. What is your testimony and mine? Did we believe God? He did not want the path of lesser resistance. He didn't ask for the cities which were easy to take. No, he wanted the fenced cities, where there are still the Anakims. That's where he wanted to go. Even they have 6 fingers and 6 toes. That didn't matter to him at all. He was equipped with the power of God, with the power of faith, a bearer of the Word. And the Word had the promise. And he had the promise in his heart, and pondered on it, and believed, and showed obedience in all that God told him. It should indeed greatly strengthen us, me and you, that God has always rewarded faithfulness. And if 45 years go by, it doesn't matter. There comes a day when God's hour strikes and the Lord rewards faithfulness and says, now is the time. You have believed me, given full obedience. Now the time has come. Arise. And he was not full of himself. He uses the word, perhaps the Lord will be with me. Yes. He knew it in his heart. He surely knew how he wanted to go there and see these Anakims and the fenced cities. But that is again the modesty of a man of God, the humility that was his in the midst of all faith and trust. Now it says here, the promise, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And it has been often enough that all the power of the enemy that takes possession of a person is always being compared to all these enemies here, and that we as the people of God are in the midst of the battle, And I mean, the battle is getting hotter and hotter. And I believe that God will give us strength, that we don't build on ourselves and look to ourselves, but to the promise that He has given as the risen Lord, and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And He gave the command, and with a great commission, also the order, to carry out the things that belong to it. And this also includes breaking the power of the enemy and revealing the victory of the Lord. For thus it is written here, that I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunne, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunne, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Again the word obedience, three times. Once that he was obedient, once perfect obedience, and here again full obedience. God gives grace. God distributes to us what belongs to us in faith and has been promised to us. And it's written here, it belongs to Him to this day. It belongs to Him. What God has promised to us or to His people belongs to us today and tomorrow and forever. God has not changed His word. We stand on the promises He has made and know that He is faithful to keep them. Sometimes we want to tend to take the path that has no difficulties ahead. But that may be your way and my way and not the way of God. If we are willing to go the way of the Lord, we must be willing to fight many a battle. And at one point, Brother Branham says that he bears many a scar, but he fought until he saw the enemy defeated. And that is also our faith and our trust. You all know, our fight is not against each other. Oh, anyone who understands that our fight is against each other has understood nothing at all. He has not even understood that the enemy is involved. Our struggle is against the power of darkness. Our struggle is against the powers of the enemy, and not against a brother or against a person. But we have to fight this battle of faith properly and take hold of the sword of the Spirit. And we have seen that wherever this is done in faith, it does not need any great claims or efforts at all, only faith. And it must happen. And it has happened. After all, we have the faith in a finished work on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How many times have we heard it on the tapes? It has been said, "If I could heal, I would, but I can't still do what God has already done." He says, healing is already done on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ was wounded, when He was beaten and martyred, it was by His stripes that we were healed, by His wounds and by His blood that we were redeemed. Here we have summarized that it was spoken about faith, trust, of the promises, of obedience. And this is of course very important, that we take these things to heart, that we keep them in mind and walk in the same footsteps by grace. In obedience, trusting the living God from the heart. And when we are ready to enter into the things that God has promised us, then perhaps we can also say that our strength today is the same as it was when we went out. Because then some things will change, some things will be different when the presence of God comes down and the promises of God are fulfilled. You and I will no longer have to complain about weakness. We will only be able to praise God that He has preserved us in His power and in His grace. And just in closing, the word that we heard so wonderfully in the word of introduction. God is so faithful. He speaks over and over again, and His word just speaks to us. We can't help but rejoice in it and take it to heart. I had to think about this word. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God who commanded the light to come, the same God has already ordered all things. We know when the Lord was on earth, He commanded, and it was. He said to the leper, "Be clean," and he was clean. To the sick, "Be well," and he was well. It was always a commanding, a word of power of our God. And when we speak His word in His name, it is still His word, and we must remember that. And that is what all spirits of sickness, that is what all powers of the enemy, they must bow and submit to the word of God. If we believe, then we have already won, and they have lost. It's only faith. Everything is here already. But faith takes possession of it. It's all there. Faith merely takes possession of it. And so we would like to believe with all our heart and soul and be able to say, like Caleb, that we have shown full obedience to God according to the promise He has made. And that it could also be said of us. I believe it is already an obedience to lay hands on the sick. Already this is obedience towards the word of the Lord, because it's written, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." The thing is already done. We only need to do it in faith and thank God that He has done it. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the same God has all the things that are there for us, that have been prepared through Calvary, already there for you and for me, and we only need to claim them. And when He speaks today, the same thing happens. And I believe He speaks to us through His word. And we have seen that too. Sometimes we wait. In the past, we waited many times after the Lord has spoken. We have waited for the Lord to speak. From now on, after the Lord speaks, we will not wait for the Lord to speak. From now on, after the Lord has spoken, we will wait for God's working, for the confirmation of His word, and we will persevere before His face. Not that He speaks two or three times again. When He speaks once, that is already so much. Then He waits for us to receive it in faith, so that He can work. After His speaking, we want to expect His working, the manifestation of His power by grace. And you will see, God will owe us nothing. But I'm glad that Caleb had such a good memory, even after the 45 years, and said, "Listen, this has been promised to me. Now I'm standing here. I want to take possession now of what has been promised to me. I can't help it. I see it, the book of Joshua, as Brother Burnham said many times, is a comparison for the church at this time. She must take possession of what she has been promised. As then the Exodus, so now the entry into all that God has promised. And we cannot help but believe, trust the Lord, keep the promise in our hearts. And if He then even gives us grace to be obedient, and if then it can be said that we have shown Him full obedience, oh, that should be something very great. I don't know if there is another person by whom that has been said so clearly as in that case. But God said it. And in what context? When the promise found its fulfillment and the land was divided, everyone was to come into possession of what was intended for him by God. We are now translating the sermon, separating the wheat from the chaff. And there it speaks of the heirs. Here they should take their inheritance. Each tribe comes where he belongs. Each one of us should find his place in the kingdom of God and say, Lord, the promises you have made, I have carried in my heart long enough. I have been obedient in things as far as I knew. Now I am here to take by faith what you have promised me. And you will see God's promises remain. They never waver. Jesus has sealed with his own blood what he promised in the Word. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains vanish. He who believes will find that God's Word remains true, as the song goes. I think we have every reason to have unbounded confidence in the Lord. Who would not believe him after we have heard so much and received instruction by the grace of God concerning his Word? Let us believe him fully and thank him with all our heart. And he will do it. You can count on it. When all is forgotten, God does not forget, and neither do the bearers of his promise. I don't know how he was thinking of the other 10, but Caleb, he was thinking of exactly what he saw in the land at that time. And Moses said, take what God has promised you, for you have shown full obedience to him. You believed from your heart. Let us also believe from the heart and be obedient with God's help, and we will see that we set our foot on land that may have been denied us until now. But all fenced cities and everything will have to fall. Jesus is victor, and he goes before us. He is the captain of the Lord's armies, as Joshua saw him. We want to follow him, and with him, you and I will also be overcomers by grace. Blessed and praised be his wonderful name. Amen. Let us rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our heart for the precious and holy word that has sounded to us again. Lord, we see that you are fulfilling your promises you made to Caleb. You still keep them today, and you are giving your people the inheritance that is rightfully theirs, Lord. We thank you. You also give to your bright church what is rightfully hers in these days. You do not fail, Lord, and we have seen in these last days how you have worked in a mighty way. For this we praise your wonderful name and give you alone the glory. Lord, you have only started, and you will do greater things. Praise to your holy name. Lord, we will not be misled by the trickery of men, but we look up to you, the living God. For from you comes our help, and also our hearts and our minds go to that what you have spoken, O Lord. We give praise, honor, and glory In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.